Lots of people like to go for hikes on trails. We'll take a guess that the list of people who like to work on trails is perhaps somewhat shorter, so it's a good thing the Siskiyou Mountain Club exists. For the second time this year, we'll visit with the club's boss about a major trail restoration project undertaken by the club. This time it's trail restoration in the Wild Rogue Wilderness. Gabe Howe is the executive director of the Siskiyou Mountain Club and our guest once again on The Exchange. Gabe, welcome back.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the Siskiyou Mountain Club itself and how long you guys have been around.
Yeah, this was our sixth summer in operation. So we started in 2010 just as a small group of kind of core volunteers determined to restore a route in the Kalamiopsis Wilderness, and it just kind of grew from there.
So you ended up moving into a different area, into the Wild Rogue Wilderness.
Well, we have projects now in the Soda Mountain Wilderness, the Wild Rogue, the Kalamiopsis, and we've done a little bit of work in the Red Buttes Wilderness too. So we kind of focus on these hard-to-reach backcountry areas that are further from town and harder to get into.
And further from town and hard to get into is actually part of the appeal of these trails, isn't it?
Yeah. For us, that's a big part of the appeal of them. You know, the further you get from town and from the front country, as I call it, you know, the worse the trail conditions are. So we kind of see that as an opportunity as we get further out to really make a big difference and bring these trail systems back to life. You know, trail systems are kind of like your circulatory system, whereas, you know, one clot in there, it creates a gap, and then the whole system kind of goes cold. So we look for those opportunities, like in the Wild Rogue, where there's this trail system there, but there's long sections of it that are in really bad shape. And, you know, we're not talking about like a little bit of encroaching brush or a few logs down. The trails we work on, sometimes there's thousands of logs down in a mile. Oftentimes the trail has been completely swallowed by brush and the bench has kind of disappeared back into the slope. So this is, you know, like a complete retrofitting of these trails. It's pretty serious and technical work, actually, when you get into these big projects like the Wild Rogue.
It sounds like in some cases you really have to figure out where the trail was because it's not entirely clear.
Yeah, we have to do a lot of that. And that's something that we are really adamant about, is always finding that historic, that native, we call it the native tread, the native trail bench. Lots of places, what happens, you know, right away when a trail starts to fill in and falls back into the maintenance log, it gets braided because people are going around obstructions, you know. And so sometimes you get to somewhere and it might look like the trail because it's, you know, there's a worn down path, but the real trail is like down here or up here. So we always look for that native bench because these historic trails, most of them were designed and engineered really, really well and thoughtfully when these agencies had tons of resources and tons of manpower. And usually there's always a reason why the trail was put where it was originally.
Well, that was the question, is why have they fallen into disrepair? And I think you just answered that. They used to be able to provide the maintenance from the federal agencies that are the stewards of the land there, but it sounds like with budget cuts over the years, they just don't have the people out there anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you have a coupling of phenomena, and that is you have these budget cuts, and the agencies are kind of, they have to go through this kind of painful prioritization process and choose what are we going to work on, what aren't we going to work on, and the backlog gets big. At the same time, you have these these new types of wildfires that we're seeing in the West that wreak long-term damage on these trail systems. When a fire comes through in somewhere like the Wild Rogue or the Kalamiopsis, the damage is kind of the sustained thing, because trees don't all fall at once. So you have a snag forest, you have a skeleton forest, and, you know, with this windstorm like that we've been having, that we just had, you know, I can just hear the trees falling because these same sections need continual stewardship.
Wow. So a lot of the stuff you just did recently, you might have to go out there and do some of it again.
In the heavy burn areas, every year.
Really? Every year?
Yeah.
Okay, that often. Gabe Howe is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Executive Director of the Siskiyou Mountain Club. We're talking about rebuilding trails in the Wild Rogue Wilderness downstream on the Rogue River from Grants Pass. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 with your questions and comments, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So this particular, how many miles of trails are we talking about that you dealt with in the Wild Rogue Wilderness?
So the loop is 25 miles, mm-hmm. And it's really cool. It kind of it incorporates about 8 miles of the Rogue River Trail, which is a really good trail that the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest has prioritized and really kept up on. But we restored these feeders, so this route features part of the Wild Rogue Wilderness that you won't see any other way. So it kind of gets into the recesses, and it features these deep, pristine gorges up the Mule Creek Trail, and then this enchanting, big, old-growth forest of Panther Ridge, and then kind of this really cool savanna, meadow-type habitat down Clay Hill. So it's a pretty diverse experience rather than just hiking along the river. And you don't need a shuttle. You can just park your car and hike the loop, and you don't have to worry about the logistics either.
Before we send people off into the woods, though, how difficult to hike is any of this?
There are steep sections. You know, I would consider it a moderate to challenging hike. There is one long stretch without water, so you've got to plan for that. There is about a 12-mile stretch without water. But it's pretty doable, especially if you kind of break it up.
But from the sounds of it, there's some fairly spectacular physical landforms out there.
Yeah, it is really unique. The Wild Rogue Wilderness kind of characterizes the Western Siskiyou. It's very diverse. It's got a lot of history, a lot of human history in this area.
Well, actually, I was going to ask about that, whether some of these trails might actually date back to Native days.
Yeah, well, we don't know about the trails, but definitely the areas. There definitely was human activity on this section of the Lower Rogue, predating Lewis and Clark. And most of the history we get, though, is kind of after that. We don't know a whole lot about what was going on these particular trails before the miners in the in the U.S. started developing the area.
Now, this is all centered generally around the community of Mariel?
Yeah, Mariel is it's an old town now. There's a lodge there, and there's the Rogue River Ranch, which is a National Historic Site. And so that's where you kind of launch off from. The Wild Rogue Loop actually kind of brings you up into the headwaters of the Coquel Drainage in Eden Valley. So it has that geographic connection that kind of connects those highlands and those communities of Powers, Oregon, to the Wild Rogue.
Oh, so really talking the division between watersheds, like the Coquille River and the Rogue River?
Yeah, exactly. When you're up on the Panther Ridge Trail, you're literally walking that divide. And, you know, to the north, the water flowing there goes into the Coquille, and the water to the south kind of flows into the Wild Rogue.
So it sounds certainly worth going to visit. But for the folks in the Siskiyou Mountain Club, I mean, how can you afford to do this kind of work? It sounds like, I mean, between this and the work you did in the Kalmiopsis, you've been busy in the last couple of years.
Yeah, we have been busy. And so for this project, Medford REI helped a lot. And we also got what's called a Recreational Trails Program grant. These are grants that are administered by the Oregon State Parks Department, but it's actually federal money from your gasoline tax, and they administer this grant, and it's reimbursement based, so we don't see reimbursement until months after the work is done. So without that help from REI, it would have been impossible to we wouldn't have had the capital to make the project work. My crew was out there for 20 days working on this route.
So is it a mix of paid and volunteers, or all volunteers or all paid?
Yeah, you know, our college crew does the heavy lifting. These are college students from Southwest Oregon who've decided they want a career outside, and they plug into us, and they get tuition reimbursement and a per diem, and they live out of their summer, out of their backpack for the summer, working on these different projects. And they do the heavy lifting. They're the ones that are packing in deep into these areas and doing a lot of the technical work. The volunteers get the chance to work side by side with them a little bit, and then also kind of complement their work with some of the lighter load
It sounds almost like firefighters in the summer. It's like, and how, so which raises the question of how much training they get before they're sent out there to do the trail building work.
Yeah, well, I mean, essentially they're building lots of these skills over the summer, but they start out with a week-long training where we take them out. And lots of times these students have never backpacked before in their lives. We look for a certain type of personality, and we look for a lot of drive, but the experience that they come into, they don't need a whole lot. So they spend a week just learning the basics of trail maintenance, of all these different little skills that make up that set, and then they start to work for 10 days on, 4 days off through the summer.
Wow, that is some rigorous work.
It is. It's very tough work, and they get in great shape, and it's a life-changing experience for them, and that's what they say in their surveys.
And you've certainly done some work building up the trails, which raises this email from Mike in Medford, who says, thank you so much for the work you do. As an avid backpacker, you guys make my happiness possible. Do you have any suggestions for getting disabled people into wilderness areas? I feel like so many people miss out on the wilderness experience. That from Mike in Medford.
Yeah, you know, it's as far as acute disabilities, you know, there's probably not that many opportunities to get someone who's in a wheelchair into wilderness. But there are some great barrier-free trails in the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest. There's the Boardwalk Trail in the Illinois Valley. There's the Waters Creek Trail. There's a basket of others that you can get to that way. And, you know, one thing to stress about all these projects is while there's this 25-mile loop, that's just one of the options that it opens up. So if you're having a hard time getting around or you don't want to go hike 25 miles but you want to see the Wild Rogue, get out the Powers and Gold Beach Ranger District map and go up to Hanging Rock and get some of that low fruit, because it is definitely there, and there are options for families, people who are having a hard time walking long distances and that sort of thing.
Ways to get close enough to the wilderness to be able to go a little bit of a ways in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, the Wild Rogue Loop is a great example. It has five trailheads altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can hop onto that Panther Ridge Trail or that Mule Creek Trail and hike for a few minutes or as long as you want, and you're going to see some really, really enchanting country.
Gabe Howe, our guest again on the Jefferson Exchange, executive director of the Siskiyou Mountain Club, demonstrating once again his encyclopedic knowledge of trails in the Rogue region. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. We were talking about the crews going out into the woods. Are there restrictions on what you can do in terms of trail clearing, trail building, because you're in wilderness?
Yeah, that's our specialty. Is we bring these skills back to life, these traditional forestry skills. So in a wilderness area, in a federal wilderness area, there you can't use chainsaws, you can't use other mechanized tools. So we take these antique crosscut saws and these other hand tools, and we really utilize them and have gotten very efficient and skilled at employing those in the field.
We're talking the two-person crosscut saw?
Yeah, two-person crosscut saws, one-person crosscut saws. They run the gamut, everything from kind of stubby little ones that are easy to kind of get in between and get into the smaller stuff to, you know, 8-foot saws that we have to use when we have an old growth tree that's fallen on the trail.
Wow, all kinds of stuff to deal with out there. What kinds of experiences have your crews had out in the woods in the summer with things like, I don't know, bees, bears, you name it?
I think the biggest challenge as far as nuisances like that is probably poison oak. You know, there's lots of poison oak on these trails. Sometimes we actually have to clip the poison oak, and you just get into it. So crew members are frequently getting poison oak. But other than that, I think that, you know, occasional bee stings and stuff like that. But we've never had any injury other than blisters and poison oak and stuff like that.
How big a first aid kit do you bring, though?
Everyone has their own first aid kit. But, yeah, we do have, you know, a pretty big, extensive first aid kit. safety is something that, you know, it's always the number one priority. And also, one of the skills that these students get is these leave no trace skills. So, you know, respecting wildlife is really, really important to us. So, you know, we hang our bear bags or stow it in bear safe containers and stuff like that.
Wow, a lot of work that goes on out there. So when do you get a chance to go back and enjoy it, or do you? Is it just on to the next project, or do you get to go back to some of the trails you've cleared and get a chance to enjoy the scenery?
That's the best part of my job, Jeff. I get at the end of the summer, I go and I backpack these routes, and it's a really meaningful experience for me because I see them before. So the Wild Rogue Loop I saw back in February of 2015, went out and scouted it, see what we have going on, and it was very difficult to pass and sections. And then, you know, I'm running the show and getting the crews back and forth of the trailhead. And I, you know, then in September, I had this sublime backpack through the Wild Rogue, which, you know, it's like they laid a red carpet, and it's really a special experience.
Is there any particular place where you just sit there and look at the scenery and go, ah? All of them.
You know, there's so many spots now, and I know these areas so intimately. If there was one spot I was going to, you know, promote for the Wild Rogue Loop, I would say go to Hanging Rock. Hanging Rock is this massive outcrop that looms over the wilderness, with these just expansive views. And it's just, it's kind of like being on top of the world there. And it's an easy, 1.5 mile hike in from the closest trailhead.
Hanging Rock. Okay. I wrote that down twice now. So what's the project for next summer, quickly?
So next summer, we have a few things on the table. Everything's still forming up. We really want to restore the entire Kalmiopsis Rim Trail. That's this 32-mile artery that runs along the eastern edge of the Kalmiopsis, which has a lot of these gaps in it. And we're looking into projects in the Siskiyou Wilderness out of Gasque, California. So that'll be new. And we have to maintain the trails that we've already got. So we are under a big fundraising imperative right now to raise $25,000 before February 1st so we can break new ground in 2016. And we're definitely looking for some leading gifts for that campaign right now.
Okay, shoe dropped or glove dropped. You can check out the Siskiyou Mountain Club's website through our website at jeffexchange.org. A lot of work ahead for the folks at the Siskiyou Mountain Club. Gabe Howes, the executive director, thanks again for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I had a good time.